Just a word, which I think is a necessary caution. I think in the history of the church, our reading of Paul has been determined more by Father Luther's interpretation, or I should say misinterpretation, than by what Paul actually intended. Remember one of the great battle cries of Protestant Reform was that we are saved by grace alone. So he would read this passage in Galatians and see Paul was saying, no, 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 all you Jews up there, you believe that you're going to be saved by behaving well, by following the law. That's wrong. Simply wrong. No Jew believed that they were going to be saved by God because of being good and obedient. The works of the law that Paul's referring to is the signs of, that were written in the law, like circumcision, huh? The dietary laws, all those things. And so Paul was trying to say, no, you don't have to do all that stuff anymore. Okay. There's a marvelous line in John 23rd's introduction to the Second Vatican Council, in which he said the following. The church should exercise the medicine of mercy rather than that of severity and condemnation. That's unique among all 21 ecumenical councils of the church. Unprecedented. All the rest of the councils had been called as disciplinary, as punitive responses to things. But this was clearly not John the 23rd's understanding of what the church was to be in the world. Sign of mercy and not condemnation. This is important because when we look at these two instances of repentance, seeming repentance in Samuel and in the Gospel of Luke, there are different motivations, it seems to me, for repenting. In the case of David, it was that under threat, I've done all these good things for you and this is the way you behave. And that seems to be his basis for asking forgiveness. In the case of Jesus, I think it is radically wrong. And this is where that line from John the 23rd comes into play. Why did this woman, a public sinner, show up in the house of a Pharisee, one of the great law-abiding types? And Jesus pointed out that the normal acts of hospitality, washing the feet, and remember everybody ate lying down, so it was easy for her to get to Jesus' feet. Washing his feet, kissing his feet, anointing him with oil. The typical response to somebody invited to a party was you kiss them, you wash their feet, and you poured oil on their head with a sign of exuberance and richness. So what's the difference? What goes into real forgiveness? It would seem to be a self-generated movement, you know, well, I better seek forgiveness. So I'll just make up my mind and go for it. I don't think so. I don't think it works that way. I, in my life, have experienced forgiveness very, very, very rarely. But I think I know what forgiveness entails. Jesus, it is clear from the rest of the gospel, radiated a kind of force field of mercy, of acceptance, of non-condemnation. You see it over and over and over again in the Gospels. The great scene of the woman taking an adultery. Have nobody condemned you? I don't condemn you. The woman has to be aware, as this woman too, that with Jesus' condemnation was not the first reflex to her behavior. But love was. Acceptance was. And so her plea for forgiveness, both here and in that passage in the Gospel of John, is a response to that, to mercy, not to condemnation, not to severity, but to unqualified acceptance of this person precisely as sinners. I think we in the West, or maybe in the East too, have a very difficult time with that because we know there's no free lunch. You know, you get what you pay for. Blah 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 blah. All this rum-tum that we run our lives by. With God, it's different. You don't have to deserve God's forgiveness. As Luther, who was working out his own psychological problem with his own biological father, implied that Paul was talking about. You may remember parenthetically that Luther's father was a real beast, very demanding, very exacting, a good behavior. And so God was just Luther's father writ large. Well, God is not Luther's father writ large. So again, the structure, the anatomy of forgiveness is not just me deciding that I need to be forgiven. It's based on a prior awareness that I am loved, that I'm accepted, despite myself, precisely in the face of my own not too great reality. And only if we see that, can we make sense of this thing. Why did this lady show up? Because she'd been in Jesus' company, very likely because she heard him talk, because she saw the way he acted with everybody. She, a prostitute, touched his feet. That was forbidden for any good Jewish man. Jesus touched lepers. Jesus spoke openly to women. In other words, all the great social conventions of his day, which constricted his life, which forestalled the mercy of God, were breached. And that's why we believe that Jesus is a great agent. And finally, in deference to John the 23rd, we have to ask ourselves, I think, today, do we as a church, as an institution, present ourselves as the merciful hand of God to the world? That's not my experience. And most, I hear condemnation, I hear threats, I hear harangues, I hear moralistic injunctions, but where do we find incarnated the welcoming mercy of God? Because as John the 23rd rightly saw, that's what we're supposed to be. That's who we're supposed to be in the world. Not just as individuals, but as an institution.